Radio on the Go can go with you anywhere. Download the free iPhone or Android app at radioonthego.com. Then listen live on your mobile device to 104.9 KLMJ. Radio on the Go.
Attention valued customers of First Bank Hampton. This is Dave Huberger, and we're getting ready for a fresh, exciting update coming your way. We're thrilled to announce that our lobby will be refreshed to serve you better than ever before. Picture this: modern, spacious, and designed with your comfort in mind. Services will not be disrupted during our lobby refresh, and you can continue to shop and conduct your daily banking. We can't wait to share a new welcoming atmosphere with you. First Bank Hampton is a member FDIC.
Welcome to the First Bank Hampton Newsmaker program. Newsmaker is an informative local broadcast presented Monday through Friday on 104.9 KLMJ, with interviews available in their entirety online at radioonthego.com. Each day, newsmakers from Hampton, Franklin County, and around the broadcast area visit with Radio on the Go about events, meetings, public policy, and issues affecting our area. And now, here's today's Newsmaker program presented by First Bank Hampton, home of Nest Egg.
Today's guest on the Radio on the Go Newsmaker program is Franklin County Board of Supervisors Chairman Chris Vaness. What we're going to talk about here is the latest with the proposed pipelines going through Franklin County. Also talking about a couple of things regarding the next fiscal year, that's fiscal year 2025, in regards to county libraries, funding for them, and also the latest with changes to health care within the county. Chris, as always, appreciate the time.
Well, thanks, Mitch. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Hopefully the fall weather is here to stay. The biggest topic I want to talk about here, during the month of August, you guys discussed the wage and compensation study. Then you guys met with department heads to kind of meet a certain benchmark with your county employees. Just explain to our audience how all that went down here the last couple of months.
Yeah, we did a compensation study this past spring and summer, and then the results of that came back. And for the most part, we were in pretty good shape where our employees were at their pay scale, but there were a few that were under where they probably should be, so we brought them up to that minimum where they're supposed to be. And then now we're continuing on with that compensation study. We're looking at how we proceed in the future for pay increases, other than like cost of living, because that's one thing I've always felt with government versus private sector. Private sector is more performance-based, it seems to me. It'd be nice if there's a way we could do something like that. We've talked about it, but too many times what I've seen where in government is you might have two people that are paid the same and maybe one's, you know, doing more than the other. So that's something we're looking into right now, how we proceed in the future, try to make it more equitable to those, especially those that have served the county for a number of years.
Now, that benchmark, is that to be competitive with surrounding counties and the counties across the state?
Yes, they took like cities, other counties, things like that. It was a study done by an outside firm.
Now, the next thing I want to talk about is the funding for the county libraries. I know we mentioned it during the last quarter in the early part of July. Now, what's the latest with that? I know nothing has been passed, but that's another item you guys have been discussing off and on the last couple months, too.
Yeah, the biggest thing we're dealing with is, and we're trying to be proactive, the state has taken, in my time here on the board, it's going to be over $1 million less. And I've been on the board for not quite 3 years. And through backfill, and then recently they had the tax reform. So that'll take $1 million out of what we used to get from the state to spend in the county. So we're trying to be proactive, trying to stay ahead of it. We actually lowered our levy rates this past spring, and we're trying to keep our levy rates as low as we can, because the biggest complaint I receive as a supervisor is my taxes are too high. So we're looking at all these things that we're responsible for, like libraries is one of them. And currently, we're required to spend, I'm rounding the numbers, I was like 6 3/4, but you know, roughly 7 cents out of the rural levy on libraries is our minimum requirement. And we're more in that 21 cent range. And we've done some research, and when I look at the total state, we have 3,600 rural residents approximately in Franklin County. The average resident per capita pays right at $50 to libraries. And the state average per capita for rural residents is $21. And that 21 cents I mentioned, and I want to be clear, some of that comes out of the local option sales tax too. It isn't all from the tax levy, but that's about 15 cent state average. So we've been looking at different ways, and how do you, you know, pay? We've got six libraries. One is in Wright County, Dowes, and one is Ackley in Hardin County, but yet some of their community is in Franklin County. So we don't fund them as high as we do the other libraries that are directly in Franklin County. So we're still working on how to try to be fair and equitable, but there will be cuts, and I don't like to see it. Some of these smaller communities, the library is kind of the heartbeat of their community, but as a realist, I wonder, maybe we have too many libraries for a population of 10,000.
A lot of things to consider. Again, we are joined by Franklin County Board of Supervisors Chairman Chris Vaness. We should know Chris is doing this interview kind of stuffed up with dust with the harvest that's going on outside. We all know what that's like, especially for those of us that have allergies. So another question I have for you, I seem to be asking this a lot of different supervisors. What's the latest with Summit Carbon Solutions? Have you been meeting with representatives from there? And so what is the latest there?
As to meeting with representatives, we haven't had many in lately. I think they're focused on, of course, Summit's going through the Iowa Utility Board at the time. The Navigator, and you reported that, I heard that on the radio this morning, how they've suspended their activities in Iowa at the moment until they see what happens in Illinois. And I question Summit's moving forward because North Dakota and South Dakota have kind of gone against them, and that's where the product is going to be pumped to, is North Dakota. So in my opinion, if you don't have an ending place for the product, you know, what should we be doing here right now at the moment? So I know our planning and zoning has come up with an ordinance, but they presented it to us, but we asked for a little more clarity from legal. But we should be coming up soon and have that, and then we'll do some public hearings on that, and then we'll go from there.
Now, you're telling me off air you had changes to health care that's going to save the taxpayer some money. Chris, you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, one of the things when I became a board of supervisor I asked about right away was health care. It's almost to the point where it's not sustainable anymore, affordable. So we've been looking into that, and we've come up with a plan. Obviously, we don't want to take a benefit from our employees. So we wanted to try to maintain what they have currently and still save money. And what we found is we could do a partial self-funding where we'll cover over their deductible if they meet their current deductible. So what we're doing is we're buying a higher deductible plan, and then we'll bank some of that savings. So if we have maybe 10 employees or 20 employees that exceed that current deductible, then the county will pick it up. And what we found, if we use kind of a higher percentage of utilization cost, that's the cost where we cover that extra deductible, we can still save about $500,000. Currently, switching to this plan, we're going to save over $900,000, but about half of that will need to go into this fund to help offset the deductible.
One of the things you guys are always talking about is drainage permits. What would you like to add about drainage here in the county as well, Chris?
Yeah, we've kind of looked at our current permit this summer, and it's just kind of outdated. We actually passed a permit, but we found that it may be a little too out of balance. We were kind of focused on the pipelines, the larger utilities, pipelines, wind farms and stuff. They do a lot more damage than, say, a utility a lot of people have noticed in the county right now putting in fiber optics. So we're changing our plan a little bit at the present time. So we'll have like a lighter duty utility permit and then a heavier duty utility permit. But the big thing is we're increasing the cost for these crossings because obviously everything has gone up and the repairs and stuff are just, we need to try to help cover that in our drainage districts going forward.
Again, we're joined by Franklin County Board of Supervisors Chairman Chris Vaness, getting the update on everything happening here in Franklin County. The wage and compensation study that they've been discussing here the last couple of months. Also talking about the impending library service agreement. Still working on that as well. And the latest with Summit Carbon Solutions. And Chris, before we let you go today, anything else you'd like to add for the good of the cause?
Yeah, I have a couple things. Number one, the assessor's been out doing what they're supposed to do. And I just asked the public to be cordial and receptive to them coming to look at your properties. They're doing what they have to do. And if you don't want them there, you know, this becomes an issue. there's other ways we can do this, and it's going to add to the cost. So that adds to the cost of the taxpayers. So, and in reality is some people have their assessments lowered after the assessor's been there. And finally, the other thing is, I just want to remind everybody, Mitch mentioned the dust and stuff, and I had our combine on fire last night for a brief moment. First time I've ever had to use a fire extinguisher. I'm sure that's disappointing to you, Mitch. That's probably more newsworthy than this interview. But it's just a reminder, we're in an extreme drought right now. It's very dusty out there. You meet people on the road, on the gravel roads, it's hard to see. It's just a reminder to be safe and have a good fall.
Well, Chris, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk in a couple of months when we start a new year.
Yeah, let's meet maybe in the middle of January. By then, we'll have had a chance to meet with the department heads and should be on our way where the budget's going to end up for the year.
I was going to say the budget meetings are coming around the corner, too. So that's Chris Vaness, today's guest on our Newsmaker program.
First Bank Hampton's Newsmaker program can be heard every Monday through Friday on 104.9 FM following KLMJ's News at Noon. To hear today's conversation in its entirety, visit radioonthego.com. Click Newsmaker under the News tab. Podcast listeners can follow Newsmaker and listen to other broadcasts on demand by subscribing to the Radio on the Go podcast for free on iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening to today's Newsmaker program presented by your friends at First Bank Hampton, home of Nest Egg.
Tired of standing in line at the bank? Hi, this is Maria Sames with First Bank Hampton. Banking is now as easy as snap, tap, and deposit. Open your bank app, snap a photo of your check, tap a few buttons, and voila, your money is deposited into your checking account right away. No more rushing to the bank before closing time. No more waiting in line. With Mobile Deposit, you have the power of doing banking right in your pocket. Your time matters, and so does your money. Download the First Bank Hampton app today. Member FDIC.